This is the Masterful Art of Self-Care, a podcast where we offer a community and safe space to bring awareness, educate, empower, and be an advocate on the ways that we can break the stigma of self-care for mothers. This is Anita Ubay Wallace, your host. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Masterful Art of Self-Care. So today I am going to be bringing back the Self-Care Practices Gone Wrong episode. And I decided that I wanted to talk about a self-care practice that probably a lot of people do, you know, specifically women. I know that there's probably also, you know, men who probably also do it, in addition to non-binary, you know, trans women as well, and then even children as well too. And the reason that this particular topic struck my interest was, so we're in the month of November, almost Thanksgiving, and my birthday was about 2 weeks ago, and I decided that instead of spending a lot of money, that I was going to kind of do a little bit of a self-care treatment at my house. So I would, you know, do my nails, you know, do a pedicure, do a manicure, wash my hair, which, you know, for having locks, it takes a while to do, and then just to dry, and I don't have a lot of that time, so it was nice just to have a couple of hours just to, you know, do some of those things for myself. And as I thought about it, you know, looking at, I don't do my nails very often, and then the one nail polish that I do have, you know, it's just something that I bought at CVS. It's not really a brand or something that I would choose to use, just because it's not a non-toxic one. But I did, you know, make that decision or to buy a non-toxic nail polish for my daughter. And so the reason why I wanted to talk about this self-care practice of nail polish, just using nail polish, and it goes beyond just nail polish, but I think, well, it is also the application of the nail polish, as well as different types of nail things that are done. So whether it's doing gel nails or acrylic nails. So I'll be discussing a little bit of that as well. And I think that most of us, you know, who have ever gone into a nail salon, you step in and it's kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say chemically, but, you know, it's a very strong smell of like acetone, so the material or the chemical that they use in order to go and remove the nail polish. So it has a pretty strong smell. In addition, I think most people know that, like, yeah, you might get a little bit of a headache, especially if you've been in the salon, nail salon, you know, for an hour, 2 hours, maybe if you're doing both your hands as well as your feet. But definitely for the nail salon workers, you know, because they're there every day, you know, probably 8 hours a day doing lots of different, you know, people's nails, and doing everything from just the application of the nail polish all the way to removing old nail polish, doing the acrylic, doing gel, doing lots of different things, and they're handling lots of different chemicals. And why I thought that this was important to discuss, and again, so this episode, you know, and the self-care practices gone wrong is really just to highlight that, yeah, you know, doing your nails, it's a nice thing to do, and it is for some, and I consider it for myself, it is a self-care practice. It's, you know, a way of, you know, taking care of your nails, of beautifying that part of your body, and obviously when you beautify and you take care of it, then it's just going to obviously make you feel a little bit better about yourself, and, you know, allow that self-esteem to increase, obviously, you know, when you've taken care of that particular part of your body. But that there's so much, I'm going to say danger, but there's a lot of really alarming things, chemicals that are in some of the products, the nail polish products that are being used, that I think it's really important to highlight. And I think, you know, maybe the general public don't know that much about, and especially if they're spending a lot of money, they're spending a lot of time to go and get all this done, and, you know, on the regular, and then also knowing that some of these nail salon workers are also exposed to some of these chemicals as well, it just makes you, you know, really kind of scratch your head and you know, take a step back and really think about, like, is this really a self-care practice? Is exposing myself to these chemicals on a regular basis in order to beautify my nails really taking care of myself, or am I actually harming myself? So that's kind of the premise of what I'll be talking about today. And obviously, you know, I don't want it to always just be all doom and gloom, but also talk about lots of different alternatives, why it is that this matters, and that if you are one who regularly goes to a nail salon, regularly does your nails, even if you're just doing it at home and you're doing it on a regular basis, just make sure that you're making the right choices and you know what you're exposing yourself to. Okay, so I'll jump right in. And one of the reasons why am I discussing this, again, this is really a podcast, it's for mothers, and a lot of mothers are also putting, you know, this nail product stuff on themselves and also on their children. And I have done this for myself, and luckily I've, you know, purchased the non-toxic nail polish. But my daughter loves putting, you know, nail polish on her nails. And, you know, whether it's just the beauty, like, you know, putting pink nail polish and it looks really pretty and cute and everything like that. But there's a lot of health, negative health effects. And what are some of those negative health effects? So infertility is one of them. Cancer, which I'll talk a little bit more in depth. Some metabolic disorders, some neurological issues, as well as, you know, a lot of these products are considered endocrine disruptors. And so, you know, I think that knowing a lot of this information, there should be like, wow, that's really surprising, and you really should care about, you know, what it is that you're putting on your nails. And I think most people would think like, oh, it's not such a big deal because it's not like I'm ingesting it, I'm not swallowing it, I'm not putting it inside my body. But the fact that you are exposing yourself to those chemicals and you're inhaling it, you know, whether you're in the nail salon or whether it's just, you know, in your bathroom, the acetone that you're putting on your nails, if it also gets on your skin, that can also have at least, you know, a negative skin reaction. A lot of the UV rays that are used in order to dry the gel nails, a lot of exposure of the UV rays can actually cause some types of melanoma or skin cancer. There's I feel like that there's a lot of things that can have some negative consequences from continuous exposure to some of these chemicals. So not only are a lot of the fumes dangerous, but like as I mentioned, acrylic nails, and I've never had acrylic nails, but from what I read and what I understand is that, you know, the acrylic nails are just fake nails that are applied on a tip of the person's original nails, and that the nail salon worker will file those nails in order to shape it, you know, to you know, a natural shape and make sure that all of them are the same shape, and then they'll buff it as well too. And so, you know, if you've ever seen, they're always wearing like a face mask, but all of those little particles, especially if they end up getting inhaled, that can cause a lot of respiratory disorders. So, and even, yes, like that's a concern for the nail salon worker, but even for the customer who's there, are you like wearing a face mask? And especially if you're getting acrylic nails done on a regular basis, you know, how much of that stuff you're actually inhaling on a regular basis. And I'll talk a little bit about gel manicures as well. And in the last couple of years, that's been a much more popular option for a lot of folks, just because they last anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks compared to acrylic nails or just, you know, your own natural nails and just applying nail polish. Because obviously, if you're cooking, washing dishes, whatever, working with your hands regularly, then that stuff is going to chip off. Whereas with gel manicures, it actually lasts a lot longer. So that's a much more popular option, but again, can have some pretty bad, nasty side effects. So I think, you know, it would be really great, you know, if you're listening to this, and if you're at home, great. If you're not at home, when you get home, you know, open up your medicine cabinet, you know, your closet, your drawer, wherever it is that you keep your nail polish, and just take a look at it. Especially a lot of the big major brands of nail polish, they don't have, most of them don't have a listing of all of the chemicals that are in that nail polish. And interestingly, well, or not interestingly, which is very similar to a lot of products that are made, you know, in the US, you know, and even abroad, is that they don't have to put or label all the ingredients that are on there. And so obviously they do that in order to, now I don't want to say that they do that in order to scam, you know, the customer, but it's in their best interest not to list a lot of those things. So a lot of the main chemicals that you'll definitely see are toluene, that's spelled T-O-U-L-E-N-E. And that is something that a lot of nail salon workers usually definitely have a lot of common exposure to, much more so than customers. And some of the health effects that are seen are like just dry or cracked skin, definitely headaches, numbness, especially if they're constantly having it on their hands or on their fingers. There's definitely eye and throat irritation as well, and which is really rare, is actually kidney or any type of liver damage. It's hard to say this one. So phthalates, which is P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S, is another chemical that is commonly seen in nail polish. And it is, and one of the effects of having exposure to this is it affects the reproductive hormones. However, it's not used as much as it was in the past, so there's not as much risk to humans, so at least they are saying that the risk is more negligible. But, you know, why put yourself at risk, especially if the nail polish that you're using, and I'm sure some people have, like, nail polish that's, like, 5 years old, and you just, you know, you collect a lot of different types of nail polish and don't use it all the time, and you don't know what chemicals are in there, you know, why risk that potential, you know, damage to your skin, to, you know, your reproductive hormones, you know, by exposing yourself to that. So again, you know, another reason as to why you want to make sure that you're not using some of these toxic nail polish. Formaldehyde. So I think that's something that a lot of people have heard of, you know, that is something that's used for, or at least it used to be, I don't think it is as much anymore, but used for embalming for bodies. But formaldehyde, as well as lots of other chemicals, are in nail polish, and especially in the use of acrylic nails. There's one particular one that was actually pretty interesting, and we found a lot more information about it, and the acronym, or short into TPHP, and I'm trying to see. And so TPHP is triphenyl phosphate. And so this is something that is used in nail polish, which is harmful to the endocrine system, and is also found in the body, and it can also be found in the body 10 hours after the nail polish application. So that's really scary. I mean, to think that something that is very, in a way, temporary, you're spending an hour at the salon, or you're doing this on yourself, you let the nails dry, and then you go about your day, but then to think that, you know, even 10 hours after having applied this nail polish, that some of this particular TPHP has actually been found, you know, in the body. So some of the causes by having exposure to this is it causes some types of hormonal imbalance, negative effects of metabolism, as well as affects the reproductive system. So one of the things, you know, so I talked about, like, why, you know, why would people think that, oh, like, nail polish or the, you know, a lot of the solvents or things that are used in order to remove the nail polish, you know, it's not that much of a big deal. It's only on the skin, but the skin is one of the biggest mucous membranes that we have, and anything that we put on our skin, you know, whether it's lotion, anything that we're exposed to, our body will definitely draw in whatever that is. And that can be just as dangerous as anything that you're also ingesting or taking into your mouth or even inhaling. And, you know, again, it is just around the skin, but like TPHP, for example, could actually be absorbed into the cuticle as well as around the nail. So it's not ever just, you know, on the nail, which is definitely a big, hard keratin type of structure, but you know, especially if you're getting you know, at the nail salon, they use the, you know, the clippers in order to cut off the cuticles, and people have gotten infections, you know, just from getting cuts on their skin from unclean use of those clippers. They're getting the cuticles removed, and then you're just creating like a bigger exposure. You don't have as much of a barrier or protection, especially to some of these chemicals, solvents that you might be exposed to. So one of the interesting things is that they actually took urine samples in one particular study. So it was actually a study done by Duke University and the Environmental Working Group. And they found that chemicals in nail polish actually enter the bloodstream in as little as 2 hours after application. They then also took urine samples examining for diphenyl phosphate. So diphenyl phosphate, which then metabolizes to TPHP, the triphenylphosphate. And it's been widely known to contribute towards infertility, hormone-related cancers like breast or ovarian cancer, prostate conditions, and thyroid disorders, neurological issues, diabetes, and even obesity. So those are a lot of different, you know, chronic illnesses, especially like thyroid stuff, diabetes, a lot of autoimmune conditions as well. And I mean, it could be like a cocktail of lots of different, you know, factors. It's never just one thing. But if you're able to at least limit some of the environmental toxicity exposure that you have, then that at least could be lessen, you know, some of the, you know, negative effects or possibility of acquiring any of these types of chronic illnesses or autoimmune disorders. So again, like, why take that risk? And especially if, you know, if it's lots of different contributing factors, you know, why at least lessen, you know, one of those risk factors from getting, you know, to prevent yourself from getting, you know, any of these disorders or issues. So like I mentioned, like a lot of nail polish labels, they don't reflect, you know, what is in the nail polish, and even some of them claim to be toxin free when actually they actually have high levels of the toxic chemical. So I think it is really important, you know, to make sure that you are looking at the label, you're reading the label, maybe even doing a little bit of research, you know, before you actually purchase it. So the brand that I bought for my daughter, you know, and I'm trusting, you know, it's Elia and Maria, or Elia and Maria has like a little elephant symbol, just something that I got on Amazon. And it does, you know, it states, you know, on the label, on the box, you know, it doesn't have any formaldehyde, doesn't have any of the phthalates, no toluene, no TPHP. So again, as a consumer, you know, there's only, you know, it's like there's this certain matter of trust, like you're going to hope and trust that they're being honest and forthright with you. And if they're putting it on the label, especially if it's saying no, that they don't have any of these particular ingredients, so you're just going to trust that, you know, that they're being honest. So, you know, that is just wanted to take a moment really just to kind of highlight a lot of things that you could be exposed to nail polish. And again, like, you know, oh, and before I kind of close out and just, you know, wrap things up, but I mentioned UV rays earlier and why that is important. So UV rays, ultraviolet light, that's something that we are exposed to pretty much all the time. You know, especially, you know, from the sun has certain like UV rays, that's why you wear sunscreen. You know, microwave, there's lots of different, you know, areas where we're getting a lot of UV rays. But why it's a big concern is because you're putting these UV rays directly onto the nails. You're putting it directly on the skin area. And so one of the things that they've actually seen in the last couple of years is that people are actually getting skin cancer and melanoma from this direct exposure. And, you know, one of the articles, and I'll reference a lot of these articles in the show notes, is that, you know, I guess they, a lot of the products or the machines that they use for the UV rays in order to help to cure the material and the gel nail so that way it hardens, is that the recommendation is actually you should be under there for 8 minutes or less. But how often have you, you know, gone to a nail salon, if you are one who actually gets to gel nails, and you've been under, you know, the UV ray for actually a lot longer, you know, probably longer than 8 minutes? And I think a lot of it is because that nail salon worker wants to make sure that you're satisfied and that you're a happy customer, and that, you know, when you walk out, you know, put your flip-flops on or pick up your bag, that you're not going to get a chip, you're not going to get a smudge or whatever it is. They don't want to then have to go and have you upset and then have them have to go and redo it again. So they're going to keep you under the UV ray light, you know, for a little bit longer to make sure that it cures, but they might be actually overdoing it. So that's something, you know, to consider. And all of this information, like, why do I put out all this information? It's so that you're educated and you're aware of these things that you're exposing yourself to, and that you're also educated and aware of a practice, a self-care practice that you might have been doing for a really long time and thinking like, okay, this is something that's for the betterment of my physical self, of my health, of my emotional health, my mental health, whatever it may be, that you are just aware of like, oh, okay, well, you know, I could still do this practice, but I can find an alternative way, or I can find you know, alternative products instead, you know, for me to still continue to do this self-care for myself, but just in a different way. And also you can be a better advocate, especially if you're going to a nail salon, which I've done myself before, is that I bring my own nail polish, and I'll bring a nail polish that I know that is at least toxic free, and I'll request that they use that nail polish. Yes, I'm still being exposed, you know, to a lot of the smells and the fumes there, but at least that's one little step. You know, or I'll be pretty, which I have done before. I don't get my nails done that often, but in the past, you know, I'll maybe just spend 5 minutes under the lights that they offer me in order to let it dry. And, you know, then it's on me, like, just because I don't want to spend that much time under there knowing I could be exposed to a lot of these dangerous elements. You know, I'll just spend 5 minutes. I'll take the risk, you know, I'll go out, like, just let nature and the air just dry my nails rather than doing it in a quicker, faster way. So, you know, it's really also just being about the best advocate that you can be. And so, you know, a lot of these things, you know, there's definitely links to, you know, abnormal fetal development and miscarriages. There's a really great article that I remember reading several years ago, and it's through the New York Times, and I'll, again, put that in the show notes. And the focus was more on the nail salon workers and a lot of the exposure, and just, it was really just sad to, you know, to read that some of these women, you know, either have had, like, multiple miscarriages, like, back-to-back, or that they've had, you know, given live births, but then these children have had issues, you know, either some type of neurological disorder or unable to talk, unable to walk, you know. And a lot of it is just because, you know, they're nail salon workers who have, that's their job and that's what they've done the last couple of years. You know, that's their only source of income, and then they're exposed to this on a regular basis, and then it just has a lot of really negative effects on the fetus and also for their health as well too. So and that's, you know, like, why does it matter? You know, it's your health. It's your health. It's the health of you, and it's the health of your child, especially if you are pregnant, if you're looking to get pregnant. You know, again, why take that risk, you know, for something that's very aesthetic, something that is very short term, it's not going to last for that long. You know, why take that risk? I wouldn't, it's not something that I would really choose to do. And then when I do my nails, and even when my daughter, we're not doing it on a regular basis. Like, you know, she did her nails, I did half of them for her, and then she did the other half, you know, this month. But then the last time, you know, we did it was maybe the end of summer. So it's like every 2, 3, maybe 4 months that we're doing her nails, you know. And I'm not using I choose not to use the nail polish remover because it does something to my skin, and I don't want to expose her to those fumes, and I don't like exposing myself to it, so I'm just like, I let it fall off naturally, and I got some weird looking nails, and that's totally fine with me, but that's just something that I choose. So, and again, it's going to definitely be something, it's up to you as to, you know, what's important for you, whether, you know, the look of your nails or the health of you know, your body and the way that it's functioning. So, you know, some things to really think about. And there are lots of alternatives. I'm not going to create like a list of, you know, these are alternative nail polish, toxic-free nail polish that you can use. But I think definitely, you know, you can go on Amazon. You can even, I know at least in the Bay Area where I live, there are a few nail salons that are, they call them like natural nail salons or like more organic nail salons, that they, you know, work really, really hard in order to not offer, you know, toxic chemicals or toxic solvents that they're using or toxic nail polish. So those are definitely places to go and seek out, and then you can probably then get recommendations. You know, you'll know because they're offering the certain nail polish, and you can at least find out, okay, this is a good one that I can use when I'm at home. So definitely seek out different alternatives. The easiest thing that you can do is, which I did for my birthday, was I didn't use any nail polish. I decided that that was something I didn't want to do, is, you know, you just buff your nails so you get them nice and shiny. You can go color free, but if you are choosing to go with some type of color, just making sure that it's something that is, that's safe for you to use. And that's also going to be safe for, you know, your kids to use if you're also painting their nails or getting their nails painted as well. So, you know, overall, I think the question to ask really is, with any self-care practice, really, like at the end of the day or even before you start that self-care practice, like, is it really self-care if my body is suffering any type of negative consequences from it? Like, is it really self-care? I wouldn't really consider that self-care. It might look like self-care. It might be something that society is telling you, or, you know, mainstream media or advertisements are just telling you, this is self-care, this is how you take care of yourself. But if you're suffering negative consequences from it, even something as little as just getting a headache after getting your nails done, is that something that you really want to be enduring every single time that you go to the nail salon? I would also ask the question, like, does, I would, like, also ask the other questions, does this serve my body at the best level, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or am I purely doing it just for aesthetics? So, you know, some big questions for you to really think about, you know, as we navigate, you know, what really self-care is, and how we can really break the stigma of what it is and what it looks like, and just making sure that it's individual for you, so it doesn't need to meet any certain standard. It should be something that feels comfortable and that fits what it is that you're looking for your self-care practice. So I'm hoping that you walked away with at least some knowledgeable information. I didn't want to spend too much time technical. So I want to say thank you for listening to this episode of The Masterful Art of Self-Care. For more interviews and inspiring stories from men and women like myself who are bringing the neglected and seldom talked about parts of our body to the forefront of self-care, please consider subscribing to our channel on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify. If you have an interesting story to share, consider shooting me an email at tia@themasterfulartofselfcare.com, or you can direct message me at selfcarephysio on Instagram. If you like what you hear, consider supporting this podcast. You can always visit the link on the show notes to consider making a donation. So there are a lot of things that are happening and a lot of things that I'm hoping will take place, especially as we come upon season 4, as we enter 2020. So I'm not doing monthly newsletters right now. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus, but I will make sure that I keep you up to date and informed at least on
these podcast episodes, and then also on my website as well for any workshops or events that will be happening in the near future. But you can definitely find all of that, so even the podcast, just by going to themasterfulartofselfcare.com, just where you can learn about any podcast episodes, any workshops, events that are happening, and also to learn about self-care and its relevancy through other healthcare disciplines. So let's help make self-care more accessible and down to earth for all mothers. So again, thank you for listening.